Hey, last week you got to hear Jim talk about his role in the military and World War II. This week, I'm reflecting on his comments. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, last episode, episode 170, was the third part in my four-part series of talking with Jim Spradley about growing up in South Georgia, his education, his experiences in World War II, and next week talking about after World War II. And so what I'd like to do, like I've done before, is I'd like to spend some time reflecting on what you heard Jim talking about. So one of the things that I think is really awesome here is that, we got into a discussion about how he ended up in the Navy. So when you think back to that, how did Jim end up in the Navy? I mean, think about what you could do here, because remember, part of my goal is the idea is for you to be able to use his recollections of his life with your students so that you could create activities, engaging activities around their better understanding of our country and the history that he lived. Now, let's go back to that again. So as we start, we're getting into Jim's military experiences and then his eventual venture into World War II. And how did Jim end up in the Navy? I mean, one of the things, did you hear him talk? I asked him how old he was, and he talked about how he was drafted, right? So one of the things that you could look at here is this concept of what the draft was. And one of the things I love here is that Jim ends up in the Navy because the line was shorter. Now, he didn't have a problem with it because he had family members who had been in the Navy, but I think that's hilarious. He that line's shorter over there. Hey, what the heck? I'll go over there. Did you hear about what he was trained to do? He was trained to be a shopkeeper. Now you could have a discussion with the kids about what this means, all right, and what it was. What type of job in the military was this, especially on a ship? And I want you to think about this. He's from Dooley County, Georgia. He ends up going, when he gets drafted, he goes to Macon, Georgia. From Macon, he goes to Rhode Island. And then eventually, he ends up where? He ends up in California. And then from California, he ends up on a ship in the Pacific. He has a brief stay on an island, and then he ends up on the ship that will be the ship that he serves in the war on, the USS Pontus. So how about drawing a map with the kids? Take a look at these journeys here. I don't know if you ever saw the Indiana Jones movies, but they always had a little plane that would go from place to place that he would travel. Well, you could do that here in Jim's journey from Dooley County, Georgia, to his role in the war. What sort of discussions could you have around that? Just in itself, suddenly the world was open to Jim. The world was. The country was. What about this? When he talked about this, when they were on the, he was doing basic training, one of the things they did was they came around and they wanted volunteers, anybody who was interested in serving on submarines. Now, why in the world do you think nobody wanted to volunteer for that? One of the things that he talked about when they were on the ship was that they eventually, came in contact with Army soldiers and I believe Marines that were so ready to get something different, something better to eat. And so the mutton they had on the ship became very popular, more so than the sea rations. So think about that when he's talking about that. What is it that discussion could you have there? Well, first of all, you might want to help them understand what a sea ration was and then explain mutton. You know, one of the things that we talked about was, what was it like when the announcement came that Germany had surrendered? You know, what were the feelings of everybody? Who, you know, what was going through people's minds? A lot of times, Jim reflects back on his thoughts about, if I survive this. So what discussion could you have centering around those thoughts? You know, it was interesting because after the war, you hear Jim talk about, you know, after his role in the war, one of the things that you hear happen was he gets notification that he's going to be going home. And he thinks that what it actually means is that they're all going home. But instead, he's told, no, it's your turn. You served here long enough, and now it's your turn to go home. And he, you know, basically says, well, I'm not going. And the captain calls him in and says, don't make a big mistake here. I'm not going to let you, and sends him home. So when he gets home, they immediately put them in a transition program called V-12 that puts him in college. And he's at Princeton University, where eventually he's going to complete a degree in economics. And one of the things that really impacted, do you remember him, that really just had a huge impact on him, was the day that he read this announcement that Congress had passed a law that said that every day that a soldier served, their education would be paid for those days. And so he knew, and what did he know? He knew that he was set because he would be able to get the education he always wanted to get. And for him, it's going to be at Princeton University. And remember, from Dooley County, South Georgia, rural South Georgia, to Princeton. But from Dooley County to lots of other places, to the war, and then to Princeton. One of the things that Jim reflects on is that if the war continued to carry on, everybody assumed that what was going to happen was, because on the ship that he's on, they're just traveling with the fleet up through the Pacific, moving closer and closer to Japan. They're going from island to island to island, dealing with the enemy soldiers. He talks about the expectation if the war continues to go on. Do you remember what he said? He talked about how everyone thought that what would end up happening was, you know, like house-to-house fighting, where all the families from the other side were going to be against them, and the number of people who would die. And then the news came that Japan had surrendered after the dropping of the bombs. There's a lot of good stuff there that Jim's talking about. Think about it. I mean, there's so much in everything that he talks about. Is this feeding your brain? Is this putting your brain on fire just a little bit about the things that you could do to help your kids understand through listening to Mr. Spradley's words and his thoughts about how to understand the time, how to understand the history, how to understand the things that were going on? By the way, you know, one of the things that you really need to do when you're developing your plans is you need to think about the words. I'm a huge proponent of, you got to think about the words that the kids need to know in order to understand. What are those essential words that they need to know in order to understand what you're talking about? Now, this isn't memorization of things, but you want to create some activities around them to get them to understand some of these words. So let's reflect on that just a minute. You know, some of the words or phrases that the kids would need to understand that you heard Jim use were draft. Do you think they really understand what that is? Because there's a lot of, you know, funniness around that word in today's world. So you could spend some time in explaining what that meant. What about Navy? Do they actually understand the different branches of the United States military? And Navy specifically, you know, that's where Jim ended up. Well, what was the Navy's role? You could even take a look at the Navy then versus the Navy today. Or you could take a look at the different branches and how they interact, the difference between the time frames. Remember I talked about storekeeper. Well, storekeeper as a military position, making sure they understood what his role was. How could they find that information out? He mentions PT boats and torpedo boats. Do they know what those ships were? Do they understand the size of them and what their job was? Once again, I mentioned the word mutton. The soldiers were so happy to have the mutton, the meat, real meat, not their sea rations. So, you know, right in there, you could have a good discussion between sea rations and mutton. What were sea rations? And what is mutton? How about he mentions the equator, where they were located in reference to the equator. Let's find that. I mean, think about it. How many kids in your room do you have that haven't been out of their community or out of their the big area that is their community, even maybe haven't been out of their state, nevertheless been to the equator? One of the things I love is that he mentions celebration mode. Do the kids really understand what he's talking about there? I'm sure you could find other words, other terms, other phrases that he used during his discussion that might be helpful in creating these activities and helping the kids understand what Jim's talking about and his experiences in the military in World War II. You know, like I said before, one of the things, he traveled from Dooley County, Georgia, and ended up over in the Pacific, not too far from Japan. So there's some huge geography that you could work on there. Dooley County, Macon, Rhode Island, California, Pacific, New Guinea, the Philippines, and Japan. So think about it. These are the reflections of a man who lived in the world from 1923 all the way to now. And you have the opportunity to hear his thoughts about the life that he was living then. Can that make your class come alive? Can you create activities around his words, reminding them about his experiential reflections? I'll bet you can. Don't forget the vocabulary. Don't forget to bring that geography in. And stay tuned next week for the conclusion of my interview with Mr. Spradley. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends. Take care.